quick thank you to our sponsors for making this podcast possible. They keep this show free to listen to.
I came to parenting with everything I learned in childhood: yelling, punishing, controlling, and shaming. After trying almost every method, I found connected parenting and was totally shocked when empathy, listening, doing away with rewards and consequences, and being a safe place actually worked. It moved the behaviors of my children and it felt good, especially with my very strong-willed and highly sensitive oldest daughter. This podcast was born out of the idea of sharing the message and helping parents find more peace in a modern world. Welcome to the Peace and Parenting Podcast. So glad you're here.
I really wanted to talk about this idea of rules and where the importance lies, why we need to have so many of them, why we're so glued to the rules and concerned about the rules and worried about the rules. Often when I talk to people who start this new methodology and we suggest the idea of not using punishments and rewards, I get a lot of, well, if I don't use punishments and rewards, then I can't have any rules. But I'd say that are punishments and rewards rules? And do you have to have one without the other? Or can rules exist separate from punishments and rewards? And I'd say yes. But I'd also wonder, why are we so concerned with the rules? And I think where it comes from, and I know where it comes from for me, and what I've heard other people say is that we're scared. We're scared our kids are going to get hurt or do the wrong thing or not know what to do, or that we somehow believe the rules teaching them what to do or helping them understand morality or otherwise keeping them in line. And I'd say, you know, when a kid is really young, yeah, they don't really understand cause and effect, right? If I hit the dog, is it going to hurt the dog? If I throw the food, is it going to smash all over the floor? Like, maybe I'm trying to figure different things out because it's still developmentally appropriate and I'm young and I'm inexperienced. But most kids over the age of 2 really understand and know right from wrong, mostly. And any rule that we have in the house, it isn't that our children don't know the rule. That's not why they break the rule. Why do they break the rule? They break the rule because they made a mistake. They break the rule because they're inexperienced. They break the rule because it's developmentally appropriate to break the rule, to push back, to have counterwill, to say no. And is it the rule that's keeping our kids in line or, you know, within the guardrails? Or could it be thought that the more connected a child is, the better they feel about the relationship? So let's, you know, let's think about it. If you feel really good about the relationship that you have with your spouse or your partner or your friend, are you more willing to do as they ask or follow their lead or listen to their advice or otherwise be kind of not compliant, but be willing to let them influence you? Are you willing to let people who you love and care about and you have a good relationship with, are you willing to let them influence you? And what if you don't feel good about the boss, the friend, the partner? Are you willing to follow their lead? Do you allow them to influence you if they're yelling at you or if they're threatening you or bribing you? Is it the rule or is it the relationship that's more important? When we have the bonded relationship, when we have the connected relationship, are our children more likely to follow our lead and take our warnings and listen to when we say, hey, watch out. You know, you don't want to go on the road out there. It's dangerous. Did you see the big cars? But if we're using control parenting, or if our relationship feels kind of icky, then will our child follow our lead? Or will they be more likely to say, I'm not going to listen to them. They don't listen to me. I'm not feeling good about it. I'm just going to say no because I want to. So I know rules, we believe, are like the boundaries, the limits. But do we need rules and boundaries as much as we need connection? And will the rules and boundaries work if we don't have the connection? So it doesn't matter what rule you have in your house. You could have 7,000 important rules. Don't do this, do that. This is important, that is important. But how do you get the child to listen to the rule? Well, you can use force, right? You can say, if you don't do that, I'm taking away your iPad. If you do this, I'm going to let you go see your friend. We can use control, right? And then we can get a child to quote unquote behave or fall within the guidelines. But we're doing it using control. At what cost? Does that cost you the relationship? Does that cost you your goodwill? Does that cost you your influence? But if we get organic cooperation from our children because we've really leaned into the relationship, then will they adhere to the rules more readily? Rules are, they're arbitrary. They really are. They certainly tell a person what they can and can't do. But most kids over two, if the rule in the house is like a rule in our house when the kids were younger was be kind, pretty basic, right? They all knew they were supposed to be kind. Esme didn't hit her sister because she thought that she was because she didn't understand the rule, or because she thought it was the right thing to do, or because she couldn't possibly fathom, you know, that hitting is wrong. She knew. She 100% knew, but she was operating in her own world, right? She was upset with me, or she was upset with her sister, or she was otherwise disconnected. And it came out in her behavior. But it wasn't because the rules weren't explicit. It was because the connection was waning. And connection will wane in your household often, even if you live in a connected home. Like, my kids are going to do the wrong thing. Of course they are. They're not doing well in the moment, or they made a poor choice, or it's part of their development, or it's just part of being a human being. But it isn't because I don't have rules. And some people will say, well, connected parenting, peaceful parenting, whatever, gentle parenting doesn't have rules. There's no boundaries. There's no limits. Are there no limits or boundaries? Or are we more reliant on relationship in order to get organic cooperation? And when we have organic cooperation, we don't really need 7,000 rules, because our kids' prefrontal, the thinking brain's online, they make some better choices, and they also listen to us because they will follow our lead, because we have more influence, because we've worked on the relationship, as opposed to just stating rules and then using control to get them. It doesn't make a lot of sense to just use control to get the rules followed, right? Because what are you really doing? When you aren't looking, is the child going to do the moral thing? Are they going to not hit their sister because they intrinsically don't want to hit their sister? Or are they not hitting their sister because you're not watching and they don't think they're going to be caught? I want my kids to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And I want them to know and internalize the rules as their own morality, because they know in their mind and their hearts, this is what they want to do because it's the right thing to do. Not because, uh-oh, mom might catch me. Because if they're only thinking, oh, mom might catch me, so I'm not doing it, and I'm operating in this place of fear, what happens when mom's not around? Or what happens when they know they're not going to be caught? Sure, sometimes they'll pick the right thing, but maybe they'll have so much resentment and so much dysregulation and so much disconnection that they'll want to get it out somewhere. It'll want to come ooze out in behavior, right? And that behavior might ooze out when we're not looking or not paying attention. And then our kid is not adhering to the rule anyway, because we're not there to enforce it with the control. Time for a short break to acknowledge our sponsors. Because of them, you're able to enjoy this podcast without paying a dime. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. ByHeart features a patent protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Their formula includes the most abundant protein, alpha-lac, found in breast milk, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum. ByHeart is an easy-to-digest formula which includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio like an early breast milk, making it great for a newborn's digestive system. ByHeart is the only U.S.-made infant formula made with certified clean ingredients, including organic, grass-fed, whole milk, not skim. What it doesn't have is soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast. Use code PEACE for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her questions via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her responses or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I used mylifeinabook.com to compile my own stories to give to my daughters for Mother's Day. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code PEACE at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code PEACE for 10% off today. Okay, back to the show. So I'm not saying don't have rules. I'm not also saying have rules. I'm not saying they're good. I'm not necessarily saying they're bad. All I'm saying is that if you have the connected relationship, then you will have children who will follow your lead and you'll have more organic cooperation and you'll have children who will listen, right? Who will actually take into consideration what you're saying. Not all the time. They're still going to mess up sometimes. That's what happens. But overall, they'll be able to follow your lead more. So I'm not so worried about rules or boundaries or even limits. Sure, they're important. We have to say, no, you can't hit the dog. Yeah, we could say, no, you can't have 7 cookies tonight. Sure, we can say no. We can have rules. We can have limits. We can have boundaries. Sure, you could say they're important. I definitely think there's places for them. I don't think they're as important as cultivating the relationship. Because when you have the relationship, then you get the rules and the boundaries and the limits kind of adhered to just organically. It all falls into place. But people will say, but what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do when my kid throws the banana across the room? What do I do when my kid refuses to put their shoes on? What do I do when they won't do their homework? This is what I say to you. There's lots of in the moment things you can do, right? Get connected, use play, come with empathy, use your own calmness to come to kids so that your calm informs their calm. There's lots of little in the moment things you can do. But if you're not working on also the relationship in a bigger, broader sense, those little moments, those little things that we do in the moment, hold space for feelings, come with play, you know, self-regulate, co-regulate, those kind of little tiny things, those won't really help you out so much unless you're cultivating the relationship piece. Are you building in connection? Are you getting rid of the threats and bribes? Have you stopped yelling at your kids? Have you really listened to big feelings? Are you not going in and fixing? Are you finding moments to have one-on-one time? Are you using play? Like, are you using the foundations of connected parenting in totality in the bigger outside moments? Because that's what's going to make the biggest difference. And people ask me all the time, but what do I do instead? What you do instead is you don't do it and you get connected. You don't have to. And I think the bigger question would be to you, why do you want to use the control? Why are you worried about the rules? Why has that become your obsession? Why are you asking so much and worried so much about rules and limits? Ask yourself, why am I worried about this? Why am I concerned? Does it come from fear? Could you feel like you're out of control? Does it come from the idea that you had that idea in your own parenting when or your own childhood and that feels like that's the right thing to do? Is it all of those things? Is it you get exacerbated because you've tried so many things and then you're just like, I'm going to take your iPad. I'm going to take your Ninu. I used to tell Esme, I'm going to take your Ninu or Blinky. Ugh, a horrible thing to do to somebody. I would take her precious little pink baby blanket that she had had since she was a baby and she would rub the little ends of it and it was all frayed and it was her like security blanket. And when I got mad, I'd say, I'm taking your Ninu. And that kid would lose her mind. Did it help her behave better over time? Heck no. And at what cost? For sure at the cost of our relationship. And then she took out her dysregulation, not on me, on her sister, because she thought I was protecting her sister. Anyways, I digress. But the point is, I get it. I know that we get frustrated in the moment. And that's okay. If you can maintain your regulation in the moment, you can talk yourself down, you can use mantras, you can walk away if you need to, you can breathe through it. Those hard moments are only that. They're just hard moments. Get through them the best you can, and then come back and say, what's my plan to connect? I need a plan to make connection happen in this family. Every day, in many aspects, what's my plan to get connected to my children? What are the things I'm going to do and what are the things I am not going to do in my plan? Do you have my connection plan? I have a connection plan. It's called Connection 101. I'll put it in the show notes. It's a great little PDF and you can start there. But I would really start thinking about, why am I worried about rules? Where is that coming from? And then what can I do to move into relationship and make that my priority instead of worrying about the rules, the limits, and the boundaries? Now, I'm not saying ignore the rules, the limits, and the boundaries. I'm not saying don't have them. But I am saying if we focus more here on the relationship, then we have less to worry about around the boundaries, the limits, and the rules. Okay. I hope that made sense. I'm so glad you tuned in to the Peace and Parenting podcast. I would love, love, love if you could leave a review either on Apple iTunes or Google or anywhere that you listen to the Peace and Parenting podcast. And we have some incredible people who have left amazing reviews. And so I would really love to read a review. It says, this is so easy to listen to. The length of the episodes are perfect for a mom with limited time. The messages aren't preachy to you, but feel like conversation, and you get to come to your own conclusions for your family. I can't recommend this podcast enough. Thank you so much, amazing gal 135. I really appreciate it. I so very much do. I love reading these reviews. They keep me going. Sometimes I think I'm just like talking to myself, which I am. But I know people are out there listening, so I'm glad that you left this incredible review. I very much appreciate it, and I would love to hear from more of you. Thanks for joining me on the Peace and Parenting podcast, and I'll see y'all next time.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.